Recorded live in the Phantasmo Lounge, high atop the Oscar Homolka building in beautiful Midtown Portsmouth, Virginia. It's Phantasmo After Dark with your host, Rob Floyd. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the old podcast. Our topic tonight, actually, it's just going to be me rambling on a bit about the Williamsburg Classic Film Festival that we attended about 2 weeks ago. And due to being at that and getting home late in real life, in between then, we're off schedule a little bit here, but hopefully we'll be back on schedule with this one and the next few succeeding after. If you've never had a chance to go to the Williamsburg Classic Film Festival, and you're near within driving distance, give it a shot. It's been going on for 20 years. It usually happens the first part of March each year. It's a really great little festival. It started out mainly as a Western film festival, but has since, over the 20 years span, it's branched out to classic Hollywood. And I've been going down to help, and Phyllis and I have both been going to help run things, put it on. My folks are part of the board and everything that puts it on, and we go down and help for the week, and it's really just a great time. It's not like a big, huge convention. It's more of a old-time convention, and you can really get close to the celebrities and spend some time with them and talk with them and get some great Hollywood stories from the golden age of Hollywood and beyond. And we've had just a great time over the years going and met some really good people, some really fun celebrities. A few years ago, Lee Merriweather has been there a few times, and I finally cornered her on the last night one night, and everybody asked her about Batman and about being Miss America, being Catwoman, being on Barnaby Jones and different movies, and I caught her, and I had to ask her about being on Match Game and on Battle of the Network Stars, and she laughed and said, "Oh my goodness, nobody has asked me about that in so long," and I'm like, "Well, that's what I want to know about." And she told us, we spent about a half hour or 45 minutes or so just talking about that and got some great stories from her on that. This year, some of the celebrities we talked to, we talked to Ed Faulkner a little bit, who has been in quite a few of John Wayne's movies, most notably The Green Beret. And he was just a heck of a nice guy to talk to. We also spent a little time with, we took Phantasmo there and showed a couple of movies. That was the big thing for us anyway. We showed on Thursday night, I believe, we showed Empire of the Ants with Jackie Scott. Ms. Jacqueline Scott was there, and she's just the sweetest person you ever want to meet. We had her at the beginning of the movie, and she introduced the movie and told a little bit about the making of it. And I believe she sat through the whole thing. We showed, started about 9:30 at night, and the crowd enjoyed it. And it's Empire of the Ants is one of those 70s, you know, big bug movies, Nature Gone Wild, from the Nature Gone Wild genre. But, you know, it had some names in it. You had Robert Lansing, Jackie Scott, Pamela Susan Shoup, Robert Pine, and Joan Collins, believe it or not. That's the thing about Joan Collins. A lot of people only really remember her from Dynasty and think of her as being this real snotty, classy, upper crust, well-to-do type person or actress. But she actually started in low-budget stuff and did a lot of low-budget horror-type movies. If you go back to the first, Tales from the Crypt, I think? Or is it Vault of Horror? I probably got it backwards. Anyway, but the Santa Claus story, and they redid it in the remake, but she was the lady who, you know, the Santa Claus, the deranged killer comes after. She did to The Devil of Daughter. Another movie where I believe she had, like, you know, Satan's Child and a lot of other movies. She did some sexploitation type stuff, two, one called The Bitch, one called The Stud. A lot of stuff throughout the 70s like that. And then she shows up here in Empire of the Ants. It's not the greatest of those films. If there is one from that era that is the best. It's kind of fun. Robert Pine, I think before he was in Chips, this came out. Who's actually the dad of Chris Pine, the new Kirk in the new Star Trek movies. There's an uncomfortable scene where he tries to put the moves on Pamela Shoup and, you know, almost gets a little rough with her and she gets away. Wouldn't play very well with today's audiences. And the action starts pretty quick in this, but it's the... And the effects aren't bad for the time. You know, you've got some some overlapping, some green screen superimposing type stuff, and then with real ants. And then you've got some puppet arms and heads and stuff. It's not bad. It's just not really a very interesting film. It really doesn't do a whole lot. You do get ant vision, though, which is kind of cool, where it is the like kaleidoscope eye effect, like you're looking through the ants, seeing what the ants see. It does move along. It's not slow. It moves along at a pretty good clip. And it's worth watching if you like the big bug type movies. It's kind of fun. But there's a few instances where the characters have this expository dialogue, and it doesn't, for no reason, out of nowhere, they just start telling a little bit about their background in the middle of all this. And it's not prompted by anything that's going on, and another character does it a little while later. It's just really kind of odd. I think this movie had another title in some releases. It was definitely a drive-in grindhouse movie. It is available. I'm not sure if it's available on Blu-ray, but it's available on DVD from MGM Midnight Movies series. It's on a double bill with Tentacles, which we might have to show at Phantasmo sometime for Bad Movie Night, I think. Coming up this week, actually, this episode that you're listening to right now should be up on the week before the next Phantasmo, which will be April 1st. And we are showing, it's our annual Bad Movie Night, and it's our anniversary, too. I believe our 11th anniversary of Phantasmo. And we're showing, for Bad Movie Night, we're going back to the 80s, and we're showing Howard the Duck and The Last Dragon up on the big screen. So if you're within earshot and driving distance, come on out April 1st to the library and on Cedar Road in Chesapeake, Virginia, and join us. It's free, and it's a bunch of fun, and we're going to all hang out and rip on these two movies for most of the night. So there's the plug for that. There's really not a whole lot to say about Empire of the Ants. I mean, you watch it, and there it is. It's not a whole lot going on. It's not any real memorable moments. The cast isn't bad. And like I said, meeting Jackie Scott, who was in it, was just fantastic because she's such a nice person, and she's done a lot of other stuff, most notably for our interest. She did a couple of episodes of the Planet of the Apes TV show, and that was really cool talking to her about that. She really enjoyed putting the makeup on and being in it and acting in it and stuff, so that's kind of cool to hear, because a lot of times you'll hear people say about stuff like that. It's like, oh, they enjoyed the job, but oh, the makeup was such a pain and such a chore. But she actually enjoyed it, and we enjoyed meeting her, so that was kind of cool. The next night, we showed another film. We had Audrey Dalton was one of the guests there, and she was in the William Castle film, Mr. Sardonicus, which we showed. And she, we had her, she came in and spoke before the movie, and she was another very nice person, just a lovely lady to be around, very pleasant. And she told a little bit about working with William Castle and being in Hollywood in the early days, answered a few questions, and then we started the film. Now, we did something with this that we've done before. When we started doing Phantasmo, showing these films, we tried to do anything we can, like the old grindhouse or the old film stuff where you'd get a gimmick or you would get a premium when you came in. Like we showed, I think the first time we showed Count Yorga, we gave away plastic fangs. And when we showed Logan's Run, we had little jewels for life clocks you could stick on your palm, stuff like that. Well, William Castle comes with gimmicks. If you're not familiar with William Castle, the master showman of low-budget movies, he would make low-budget horror movies, and they wouldn't be the greatest films, but he would have a gimmick to get you to get in the theater or make you want to come see it. And this one, for Mr. Sardonicus, he had what was called the punishment pole. And you would, when you came in the theater, you would get a card that had like a thumbs up on it, and you could turn it if you wanted. Mr. Sardonicus, at the end of the movie, William Castle would come on the screen and ask you if you want him to be punished for his crimes. You hold the thumb going down, hold the card up. If you think he should get away with his crimes, you hold the thumbs up and you hold the card up in the air. And it's beautifully done because he comes on the screen and he tells you that. And then he says, okay, hold your cards up. And he waits and he says, oh, come on, please hold your cards up. And more people in the audience actually do at that point. And he acts like he's counting, And he goes, excuse me, little boy, could you sit down so we could, thank you. And he acts like he's counting, and he looks at his paper and adds it up, carry the two, da, 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 da. And he says, well, I guess he's going to get punished. Thanks for voting. And he goes off, and the movie comes back on. Now, they did not film two endings. They filmed one ending, so it doesn't matter if you hold the cards up or not. But the way he talks to you on the screen, it makes you want to hold the cards up. And we got a copy of one of the cards, and one of the actual old cards, and printed a bunch of them up. I don't know, we printed about 60 up, and passed them out to everybody that came in, and they even glowed in the dark, too, like the original ones did. And when that scene came on, everybody that was there held their cards up, just like he asked to be, to for the vote, and it was really cool to see people actually participating in these great old kind of cheesy gimmicks, but it's a lot of fun. It adds a little more to the experience of being, you know, being in a theater with a bunch of people. Now, that's that aside, that's kind of the only reason to really watch the film. It's not a bad film, but it is kind of long, Mr. Sardonicus. It's a drags in a few spots, and the Sardonicus makeup isn't really that great. It's, even for the time, it's, you can't excuse it for that. The plot is he buries, his father dies, and they bury him, and apparently he had a winning lottery ticket in his pocket in the suit he was wearing. So he goes to dig him up to get the ticket, and when he opens the casket, he sees the decomposed body of his father, and it shocks him so much that when he screams, the muscles in his face contract, and his mouth is affixed in this permanent, like, Joker-like grin, and it stretches his nose out in his mouth, and he can't close his mouth or, you know, get rid of that grin. His muscles are locked and frozen. And he takes on the name Baron Sardonicus, and he becomes evil and vengeful, and is trying to find a cure for him, and he experiments on servant girls and girls from the village and all this, and so he just becomes an evil, mean son of a bitch. And messages his doctor, or his wife, I think, that was an arranged marriage, messages his doctor in America who's developed some new techniques, and they get him to come over, and he fails to cure him, and then they threaten to kill the wife, and so he ends up trying some other things, and he does cure him. And some other shenanigans ensue. You have to watch the film yourself. I'm not going to tell you everything that happens, but you can get it on the... Probably you can get it individually, I believe. It might be on Blu-ray now, but also there's a great William Castle collection box set of DVDs that is fantastic. It has, I don't know, six or eight of his films, and Sardonicus is on there. Highly recommend getting that if you get a chance. It's fantastic, and it also comes with a documentary, Spine Tingler, the William Castle story, which if you have any interest whatsoever, William Castle, definitely check that out. That was really a lot of fun. We had a lot of people show up, and they had a great time. We did that, showed that at Phantasmo here in Chesapeake, or over there in Chesapeake, rather, a few years ago, and it played fantastic. It was amazing people. Like I say, people still got into it, as cheesy as it is, and had fun with the punishment poll cards. We even did 13 Ghosts that same night, and we made the ghost viewers, and everybody used them. It was just fantastic to see, and it was kind of surprising in Williamsburg, because like I said, it is geared more towards classic Hollywood and classic westerns is what, you know, how it started, and it's a little older crowd that goes to the show, but everybody had a good time. Audrey Dalton, I talked to her again the next day, and she had fun and talking to everybody, and enjoyed seeing the film again. She hadn't seen it in a few years, and let's see who they have next year and see if we show anything else. In the dealer's room down there, I picked up a few odds and ends. Ron Adams was there from Monster Bash, and they had a table set up with DVDs and merchandise and T-shirts and everything, and I got a really cool Glenn Strange Frankenstein T-shirt from him, and a Gorgo model, kind of like the based on the old Aurora models. It's just a great-looking kit. And I picked up a couple DVDs. I got Doc Savage, the film Doc Savage from the Warner Archives, which if you want it, go on Amazon or Warner Archives. You can get a copy. Great, cheesy, campy pulp film. And there's all kinds of other stuff down there. Yeah, you're definitely not going to find the type of merchandise that you find at a sci-fi convention or a horror convention, but you dig around a little bit, you can find some stills or some one sheets or DVDs, or, you know, hopefully Ron will be back with the Monster Bash table too. That's a convention that we've been meaning to go to for a long time that I've always heard good things about. If you like classic horror and monsters, Monster Bash is the convention to go to. I believe it's up in Pennsylvania. I want to say maybe in June. Anyway, look it up online. You can find, it's easy to find. Great bunch of people, great convention. But back to the Williamsburg Film Festival. Yeah, it was it. Sardonicus. Let's see. We showed Sardonicus on Friday night and Empire of the Ants on Thursday night, and we had a good crowd, about the same size crowd for each one. I say the Sardonicus seemed it dragged. It's a bit long. Empire of the Ants moved along at a pretty good clip. Each one, I don't know if I have a favorite of either one. maybe Empire of the Ants, because it did move a little faster and Sardonicus was slow. But then again, the punishment pole thing worked out great. Now, upcoming events we've got coming up. Keep checking the Phantasmo After Dark Facebook page for upcoming info on the next couple of podcasts. And the Phantasmo Cult Cinema Explosion Facebook page for upcoming events. And we'll cross-post both things. We will probably be doing another showing at the Narrow Expanded Cinema on Conley Avenue in downtown Norfolk. Pretty soon, in the next month or two, couple months, we're going to be showing some classic horror film of some kind. We haven't decided yet. It depends on what they can get and when they can get it. And we may be doing a burlesque show live there in June, so keep an eye out for that. Now, as far as the podcast is concerned here, this one is up now, of course, because you're listening to it, duh. But the next one, we'll be back on our regular schedule, hopefully, of every other Monday. And the next one looks like it's going to be, hopefully, special guest host, a good friend, Sam Batman. And yes, his last name is actually Batman, Professor Sam Batman. And yes, he is a real professor. Good friend of ours we don't get to see nearly enough. And we're going to talk about superheroes and superhero movies and how the older movies from the 70s or the TV movies and the superhero movies of the day, how similar they actually are in terms of the way they're made and as far as the changes that are made in the from the comic book to screen. They're a lot more similar than you would think they are. It's just the ones today have a bigger budget is the main thing. And we're going to really go into that and dig deep. And Sam is as big a comic book fanatic and from way back as I am, if not bigger. And it's going to we're really going to get into some meat in these discussions. And who knows, it might even go into a two-parter. I wouldn't doubt it, or even a three-parter. So if you have that kind of stamina for listening, tune in. If you like what we do, if you like the old podcast here, or you want to tell us to stop the old podcast here, or you have any ideas for topics you'd like to hear us discuss or talk about, or you just want to say hi, drop us a line at phantasmoad@gmail.com. That's phantasmode@gmail.com. Or just post it right on the Phantasmo After Dark Facebook page. That'll be cool. See a little activity there other than me posting trailers and pictures and stuff. You know, and for every podcast, check the photo section and the albums, because I always post an album for each podcast of lots of pictures from what we've talked about. So it won't show up right on the wall of the newsfeed. But if you go to the podcast by date or by episode, you see all kinds of pictures, behind the scenes pictures, oddball pictures, merchandise pictures, anything I can find that I think is kind of interesting relating to the podcast episode. Yeah, I'll throw in there some stuff you might not have ever seen before. Who knows? And I try to put trailers up for any of the films whenever I can think about it or get around to doing it. It's a lot of fun, and it's cool to go back and look at some of the older episodes. And hey, and don't forget, if this is your first time listening, check back at the archives, Podbean here, or on Stitcher or on iTunes, and check out some of the previous episodes. We've really talked about a lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool films, and other odd things in between. And some of the tangents we've gone on and managed to get back to the topic kind of amaze me sometimes, which it's kind of weird because you don't really get tangents much when it's just me talking to you here, though I tend to do ramble on sometimes, kind of like in real life. But that's that. This is going to be probably a short episode because there's really not a whole lot to say about Empire of the Ants or Mr. Sardonicus without going into, I could talk more about the other giant bug films or Nature Gone Wild films of the 70s, but that could be a whole episode in itself. I mean, you've got like Night of the Lepus, Food of the Gods, stuff like that. There's a lot of fun. Then, William Castle, man. I think we did Homicidal. We did a little while back, which was a cool William Castle film. One that surprised me because I'd never seen it. It was a lot more enjoyable than I thought it was going to be. And I want to probably out of all the ones I've seen, I have not seen all of William Castle's films yet. I still have this box set I've got to get through. But of all the ones I've seen, Mr. Sardonicus is probably one of my least favorites. But give it a shot if you get a chance to watch it, and print out your own punishment poll card and have fun with it. Everybody's probably seen House on Haunted Hill, and that's one of his better ones. And of course, it's Vincent Price. Who doesn't love Vincent Price? Vincent Price could read the phone book, and people would sit there and just watch him do it because he just has that kind of charisma. The Tingler is good. 13 Ghosts is fun for what it is. There's a few others I need to check out though, like 13 Frightened Girls and Zots I haven't seen. Talking about William Castle, you cannot not talk about the movie Matinee with John Goodman. If you haven't seen this, if you like William Castle and you haven't seen Matinee, check it out. It's basically, it is the story of William Castle. John Goodman plays a film producer named, I think, Lawrence Woolsey, and complete with talking on the screen and the big cigar and putting the gimmicks in the theaters. It's just a great tribute to William Castle. And that's pretty easy to find. It takes place in the late early 60s, mid 60s. Matinee, and they show a film in it called Mant. He's half man, half ant. it's goofy fun, and you'll have a good time watching. Also spotting other character actors that are in it and seeing the stuff in this kid's room, the issues of famous monsters and everything from that era. It's just a joy to watch. Now, if you like the movies like the William Castle stuff that had gimmicks and the old premium stuff like that for theaters they used to do, another film you can check out is one from the 80s called Popcorn. Dee Wallace is in it. A few other faces. Ray Walston has a little cameo in it. No other major players, but a few other character actor faces from that era you might recognize. But that deals with a college film class that for their final project, they take over this old abandoned theater and restore it for one night for a big Halloween marathon showing of horror movies, complete with all the old gimmicks that they used to use. And Ray Walston plays a character who has all these old gimmicks, not quite like a William Castle, but they do the theater up where one film has to do with smells, and they pump different smells in the theater, and they have all the different gimmicks like that. And that movie's a lot of fun, especially if you like 80s horror movies, 80s slasher movies, but it's not the typical 80s slasher movie. But you get to see all these cool gimmicks used the way they were supposed to have been done. And it's not a bad film. It's pretty easy to find, I think. I think it came out on Blu-ray not too long ago. I'm not sure who puts it out. But it's worth checking out. So I'm thinking that's about it. I rambled on a little longer and went off on a little tangent there for you. and I can't really think about much else to say. This one is kind of a bridge to get us through from missing an episode there and having to adjust it and back up and get off schedule. And to bridge us to the next one, which is going to be, like I said, probably a two-parter. Once Sam and I get into it, who knows? We'll see. And from there, we'll see what the next ones hold. So, hey, thanks for listening. And tell all your friends about this if you like it. Get them to listen too, and there'll be more later. Thanks for listening. Good night, everybody.